Radio Chaser is brought to you by Game of Thrones spoilers. Spoiler alert, the opening titles are quite long. Game of Thrones spoilers.
The election is on, battle lines are drawn, and as always, standing at the front is democracy's ultimate defender. The pollies may bluster and blow, but there's one voice you can rely on. Unfortunately, Anthony Green was unavailable, so instead, welcome to Radio Chaser.
Yes, indeed. With you today, Andrew Hansen, Zoe Norton Lodge, Charles Firth. My name is Dom Knight. Coming up, Charles invents a new sort of shoey. We say goodbye to a legend of Hollywood. And you can join us at our massive sausage party on Friday, Election Eve. Zoe shaking her head.
I cannot believe you've not changed the name. I've not been here for a week in protest of that name. I've come back. I thought we weren't going to talk about it.
I thought you were going to choose a new name.
I've been protesting the name. It's not my responsibility to fix your terrible problems. It's your responsibility.
What is wrong with the word sausage fest?
I'm not talking about it anymore.
Oh, it's a shame. Oh, Zoe. Well, we'll get onto that. Look, I think we should start with Sydney, though, shouldn't we? I mean, the amazing sights on the harbour this morning, guys. Sydney Harbour. The bridge danglers. If you're going to protest climate change, you know, one of the ways you can do that is by dangling off a bridge, we discovered this morning. This is what a few Greenpeace activists were doing off the harbour bridge this morning. Professional abseilers, apparently they were, just dangling off ropes. And they said, apparently, they had some kind of message to give, which we can only assume was environmental because we know they were from Greenpeace. Although, ironically, at least one of them dropped their backpack into the ocean, which I imagine has killed at least one dolphin underneath there.
Oh, no.
By eating it. But look, I just wondered, guys, what they actually had to say. So I couldn't help it. I went down myself this morning, hero that I am, and tried to have a chat to them on Sydney Harbour Bridge. Take a listen.
Okay, so here I am on the very edge of Sydney Harbour Bridge, and there are the three Greenpeace activists. They are dangling very far below. Hello down there!
Biden!
Any chance you three could climb back up for an interview?
Biden!
I said I want an interview. I'm a reporter.
We can't hear. We're too far below you.
Well, climb back up then. I'll help you spread your message. Then come up here. We are listening to you.
Why is nobody listening to us?
Oh, God.
You can't distance yourself from our message.
Your message is distant. That's the problem. Look, I just want an interview, for pity's sake, you dickheads.
We just want an interview, for pity's sake, you dickhead.
Steve, can you pass me those scissors? There we go. Some green peace and quiet.
Radio Chaser. Triple M.
Big news from Vaucluse. We don't often say that. A Vaucluse man has been charged with smuggling cocaine, which was concealed in children's books. There's a whole series of children's books that were shipped to this person's address. Bizarrely, they were in Portuguese. And when customs x-rayed these books, they found that there was a little bit of a bonus.
What did? Was there a sort of... Was it like the very sniffy caterpillar or something? Was there a bit of a hint in the titles? Yeah.
The very hungry caterpillar who had the munchies.
Yeah. Oh, the places you'll go.
But I just think it's great that someone's come up with a way to actually encourage reading.
Would it encourage? I mean, maybe get some speed reading going
on
there.
Yeah, some speed reading, exactly. Yeah, that's lovely.
Chocolate and the Charlie Factory?
Charles.
Sorry.
Yellow card.
James and the Giant Spliff? No, it doesn't even, not even a pun.
Spot goes on a bender.
That's very good.
But the way they get these drug hauls now is that they x-ray the cartons, don't they?
They
x-ray the cartons.
That's
and
what
they
happened
go,
here.
Okay, these are supposed to be books, but there's a whole lot of powder in there. Why? If they're such geniuses at importing all these drugs, why don't they import them in something that's supposed to be powder? Like, why don't they import the drugs in baby formula boxes, and then it's like, oh, look, we'll x-ray this. Oh, look, it's powder. Great. Okay, let it go through.
Wouldn't they be suspicious that anyone wanted to import baby powder to Australia, given the current situation?
Okay, well, then talcum powder or something. I don't know. I don't know. Or even better, why don't they just list on the manifest This is a shipment of fake cocaine packets for a movie set.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Yeah.
Just wrap it up so that it looks like cocaine and then go, cocaine. There you go.
Well, that's genius. I mean, you're a criminal mastermind, Charles. Mm.
I think the problem there is the dogs. Because if they then get the dogs, then it would sniff out the cocaine. They go, sort of thing. So why don't they invent a product? You do a national advertising campaign for a product called Sniffer Dog Attractant Powder, right? And then you import the sniffer dog attractant powder, which is actually just the cocaine.
Mm.
And then the dogs go wild for it and you go, yeah, see, exactly. It's sniffer dog attractant powder.
And how much cocaine have you had to come up with these ideas? Yeah.
Triple M, Radio Chaser.
Now, I want to talk about stuff-ups at work now.
You don't have to talk about yourself the whole show, Charles.
Yeah, look, we kind of forgive you.
But this guy in the Indian Navy, it's been reported, yesterday it was reported, he stuffed up. He didn't close a hatch on a submarine. They're actually their first nuclear submarine. It's called the INS Arihant, and so the submarine sank, and it's a $2.9 billion submarine, and it's now unusable.
Like, I don't know a lot about submarines, but I feel like closing the hatch. I reckon even I, if it was me up there, for some reason I was the person in charge of the submarine because the world was going to hell, I reckon I would have remembered to close the hatch on the submarine.
And presumably his one job was to be the hatch closer. Like...
It would have made hunt for Red Dawn.
It's like you got the was it open or closed? Open or closed? Eeny, meeny, miny. I'll go with open.
You know what doors are. Doors, you know, sometimes you think it's closed and that it's not quite there because the handle, you know, just flops open again when you're not looking.
Yeah. But you think if you lived under the sea, like a submarine, maybe you'd be a little more aware.
Maybe
I don't know.
He had like sort of obsessive compulsive thing, and he'd been teaching himself to not go back and check that the hatch is closed. Like you know, because no, I've closed the hatch. I'm sure I have. I'm not going to go back and check like I usually do.
Yeah,
and he was all proud of himself, and then
he'd probably figure, look, and even if I did leave it open, somebody would notice when the submarine started to go under. You know, somebody would go, oh, excuse me, you've left the hatch open because there's 20 tons of water pouring through my head.
Car has a little light that tells me if the door's open. I reckon if you're building a $3 billion sub, maybe put in a little thing that checks.
Or maybe make some stuff waterproof in the underwater machine. Yes. Just a thought. Look, maybe
a bit of lino.
I mean, it's a pretty big work stuff up though, isn't it?
Yeah,
I want to hear some other work stuff ups. 133353, what's your massive stuff up at work? I must say, this is making me feel better about my classic work stuff up in my... One, I had a very, very short career as a barista.
Oh, yeah. Did you be a barista?
I was a barista. I neglected to, there was a bit of a sin of omittance. I neglected to tell my boss that I didn't know how to make coffee. In fact, I told him the opposite of that. And then he let me loose on his brand new Italian coffee machine, which he called Madonna.
Mm.
And I broke it.
You did no training. Like, baristas are supposed to train for months, aren't they?
Yeah. I thought, look, I know how to whip up a nest. Cafe? How hard can this be?
What was your biggest stuff up at work? 133353. Best call wins tickets to our Sausage Fest event on Friday. Free beer and sausages in Newtown. Give us a call. 133353. Chase, the line's open now.
And naming it Sausage Fest was your biggest stuff up at work, Dom.
Radio Chaser on Triple M.
Radio Chaser is brought to you by Game of Thrones spoilers. Spoiler alert. It's so darkly lit, we can't work out what happened to spoil it for you. Game of Thrones spoilers.
It's Radio Chaser on Sydney's 104.9 Triple M. Now, a big Sausage Fest party's happening on Friday. As much as Zoe hates the name, probably with good reason, but it's going to be really, really fun. We're making democracy sausages before the election. You get to choose which one, and we'll tell you the finalists later in the week. Maury Meat are our friends who are making the sausages. Maury Meat of George Street, North Strathfield. Check them out at maurymeat.com.au. And also beer from our mates at Young Henry's coming up. Now, stuff ups at work is the theme here on Radio Chaser. And before we take Greg's call, just think, Charles, you had a classic once upon a time here on this show. Everyone else remember that?
Oh, how could I forget?
I walked into the studio. We were going to record some sketches before the show. And the panel had been left with all the knobs up and things like that. So I pulled them all down.
The knobs up. What an expert.
We've told you not to touch the knobs.
Yes, you know not to touch up, especially up knobs.
We usually have special mittens for Charles so he doesn't touch anything and ruin it.
Anyway, so I pulled them all down to sort of start recording the sketch. And then This everyone starts running towards me. I've taken the whole of Triple M nationally off air for 19 seconds.
Who would have thought in a radio studio, if you pull down every single knob you see, that would be a bad thing?
Charles, you are a knob. Let's go to Greg. Hello, Greg. When did you stuff up at work?
Hi, guys. How are you? Yeah, many years ago, when I first moved to Sydney, I got a job making laundry powder at a factory, and I was there for a couple of weeks, and then they said, oh, you can get a forklift license. I went, beautiful. And then I was driving around, and one day I come around the corner and lost control and hit a machine. Didn't realise I caused $30,000 worth of damage. Ooh. Didn't last long.
Whoa.
That's extraordinary. Oh, dear. All right, let's go to Glenn in North Rocks. Hello, Glenn. Stuff ups at work. Hey, what was yours, mate?
Yeah, I was working as an apprentice locksmith, and as part of the job, we do security cameras, so we were running cables for a roof. I left one tile off, and it rained that night. It was a brand-new house, and it cost about $6,000.
Oh,
not quite a hatch on a submarine, but the same principle. Oh dear, let's go to Josh. Hello there, Josh. What did you stuff up at work?
Oh, I was out on a job site on the side of the M4 there, and tipping off a load of dirt for him there, and the ground collapsed on the driver's side, and over the entire truck went.
Wow.
Well, that doesn't sound like it's your fault.
Yeah.
That's the ground.
That's the ground.
The mean old ground.
Well, according to the investigations, they deemed it as my fault because I shouldn't have tipped it there, even though the spotter told me to. So it was a whole can of worms.
Oh, dear.
Tell you what, there's a lot of Sydney freeways being improved by tipping dirt all over them. Let's go to Matt in Mount Druitt. Matt, what's your stuff up at work? Where are we? There we go.
Let me just start by saying, mate, this is literally the greatest show on radio at the moment.
Oh, I agree with you, Matt.
Oh, Matt, you mustn't listen to much radio.
No, I do.
What was your stuff up?
So I'm a scaffold owner, scaffold estimator. So I turned up to a site. I got an email to say, go to this site to measure up. Went to the site, measured it up, give them a quote worth about $25,000 for several weeks hire and all the labour and stuff like that. They accepted it. We turned up the site. We built it. About 4 days later, took us 4 days to build with several men. I rang him up, told him to come have a look at it. He said, that looks fantastic. Unfortunately, that's the place next door that we were supposed to
go. Oh, no! That is the best!
That's extraordinary.
Oh, man.
For $25,000, basically, he ended up giving me $5,000 because by the email he sent me to go look at it, he actually had that address on it anyway. So I got jumping back.
Oh, Matt, I reckon you could get a pretty good job on a submarine.
Hey, Matt, can you want to join us for a beer on Friday, mate?
I'd love to. Absolutely.
I think with that story, you're there. Nice one.
Yeah, and a lot of us are in mourning today over the death of poor old Doris Day, Hollywood legend. Well, I mean, when I say a lot of us, not me personally, because I've never seen a Doris Day movie because I'm not 300 years old. But a lot of people are upset. You know, Doris Day, great actress. She's no longer with us, I'm afraid. She died at the age of, well, it was a very big age. Let's just hear the latest on that very sad news.
Hollywood stars have united with messages of surprise after tragic news overnight that Doris Day had passed away.
I was shocked at the news. I mean, I had no idea she was still alive, and I'm her agent.
Wikipedia editors scrambled to update the online encyclopedia's entry on Doris Day.
I logged in to edit her entry to reflect her deceased status, but it had already been listed like that for decades.
Whatever will be, will be.
The extremely old actress starred in classic movies, including the original Jurassic Park, which was, back then, a nature documentary.
As you can see, the Triceratops is a fearsome creature.
A strident animal welfare actress, Day was instrumental in the campaign to save the woolly mammoth. And in her twilight years, she joined the campaign to save the dodo.
She will always be remembered as one of Hollywood's greatest film stars. Stars
shine. Which is exactly how she had already been remembered by everyone who thought she was already dead. This is Stephen Watson in Hollywood for BBC.
Triple M's Radio Chaser.
Guys, the passing of Doris Day gave me this feeling that I've had quite a few times when I find out someone's dead, and that is, oh my gosh, they were alive, right? And it's sort of embarrassing because you don't want to. It's not the time to admit that you didn't know someone was alive. But I want to know how alone I am because I almost never know somebody's alive when I find out that they're dead. So I've just devised a little quiz to see, you know, whether I'm an island or whether you're all as dumb as me. So if it's okay with you, I'd really like to play a game I made up called. I'm going to say a person, might give you a little bit of information, and I want you to tell me whether they are dead or alive. Andrew Hansen.
Yes, sir, in Norton Lodge.
Kirk Douglas.
Kirk Douglas. Oh, I reckon he is alive because I was reading about he's got a new love interest or something, and you wouldn't think he's alive. I remember being amazed that he was alive because even his son is like 104.
Well,
I think he's alive.
That is correct. Well done. He is alive. And do you know how old he is?
Well, yes, I do.
He's 2 years younger than his son. He's 102. 102 years old. All sorts of miracles going on there. Okay, all right, all right, all right. What about...
He was born during the First World War.
Amazing.
Yeah, it's quite a feat. All right, Charles, what about Shirley Temple?
Shirley Temple would be dead, I reckon.
You reckon she's dead? Does everyone agree?
Don't you? Yeah, she'd definitely be dead. Yeah?
She's dead to me.
She's dead to you.
Well, she was a child star. What's she done since?
She's a child star, so you're a sick man. Unfortunately, she's dead. Let's not speak ill of the dead. Correct? Charles, incorrect, Dom. Okay, so what about, Dom, what about Dick Van Dyke?
I know he's still around because he was in the remake of Mary Poppins.
At 93, he appeared in the remake Mary Poppins Returns. That is correct. And what about Angela Lansbury?
Oh, that's a hard one. Right, Murder, She Wrote, woman.
Ooh, that's hard. I think she's gone.
Yeah, no, didn't she relate to Turnbull? She's still here.
No, I reckon she's gone.
At 93, she also appeared in Mary Poppins Returns. There
really?
You go. Okay. What
Which
about
character did she play?
What about
Poppins?
Oh, you know, the very old detective lady one. Okay. What about Jerry Lee Lewis? Great Balls of Fire, Jerry Lee Lewis.
Jerry Lee Lewis. Oh.
Well, I reckon he's not with us anymore, but I think I hear his wife just turned 16.
Oh, that's interesting. That is incorrect. He is with us, and he recently sued his own daughter, so that's a bit of lovely family trivia for you. What about Jimmy Carter, President Jimmy Carter?
Yeah, he's still alive. Still building houses in the third world, isn't he?
Yes.
Yeah, he's 94 and he still likes catching wild turkeys, apparently. okay, what about Tony Bennett?
The singer?
The singer, Tony Bennett.
He was out here a few years ago. I reckon he'd still be alive.
No, I seem to remember hearing that he lost Tony Bennett.
I think he's gone.
Well, unless my internet research is bad, he is still alive and 92 and touring around.
Sorry, Tony. I should give him the benefit of the doubt.
Duet with him, Hanson.
Okay, I've got one more for you. Yeah. What about Charles Firth's career?
Dead to me.
Radio Chaser is brought to you by Game of Thrones spoilers. Spoiler alert, there'll be lots of gratuitous breasts and, for balance, one gratuitous knob. Game of Thrones spoilers.
Yes, here at Radio Chaser, we've found a way to find to make the election exciting. We are voting on Australia's number one democracy sausage. So many to choose from. We're running through the final four shortly. But the point is, we already gave away one ticket during the show. Matt's going to join us at Sausage Fest on Friday. Young Henry's is going to take place. Maury Meats is making the sausage for us. Maury Meats of George Street, North Strathfield. Check them out at maurymeat.com.au. And you can be the first in Sydney to try Radio Chaser's exclusive Voters Bitter. That's thanks to our mates Young Henry's, proudly independent, best served loud, Newtown's finest.
Yes, and it's a very, 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 very bitter beer.
Oh, can't wait. Can't wait.
And can I just say, I didn't interrupt you once to complain about the name Sausage Festival. You said that whole thing.
Even though it's heinous.
Mm. Yeah.
Yes, there's actual voter tears in that voter's bitter, aren't
there? I must say I'm a bit disappointed with the final four sausages, to be honest. Because
that's just like the candidates. That's perfect.
Exactly.
What did you expect?
It's just like the rest of the election. Yeah. It's exactly like democracy.
Well, what are they? What are the final four sausages?
Well, can I just tell you some of the ones that have missed out?
Yeah. Yes.
Including the Pauline. The Pauline has 100% white meat.
Oh, well, but the thing, in the end, no one would give that sausage their preference.
Yes. Yes, of course.
The voters have been deciding at triplem.com.au. People have actually been putting in votes. You can choose from the final four. Charles, what's in the final four?
Oh, well, the final four, if you want me to just skip ahead to that, is we've got the Barnaby Joyce, which is an all pork affair with a bit of sauce on the side.
Which nobody needs to ever put in their mouth. Continue.
But somehow, mystically, they still do. But only if you're employed by Barnaby Joyce. Anyway, the short and sweet, which is a very short beef sausage with a sweet surprise, which is two little scrumptious man boobs.
Oh, my God. I'm becoming a vegetarian as we speak.
Well, yeah, actually, that's another one that didn't make it. The greens one, the kale that's and flaxseed sausage didn't make it. I don't know why.
That was my favourite. Yeah. That was my personal favourite.
Then we've got the ballot paper sausage, the below the line, which is the world's longest sausage. It's 1.5 metres long, which is almost, but not quite as long as the Senate ballot paper.
That's an impressive bit of sausage processing from Maureen Bent, may I say.
And finally, the Clive Parmigiana, which is, let's actually check out the ad for the Clive Parmigiana.
You've had a hard day's work down the nickel mine. Now you want a snack that fits the size of your appetite.
Oh, so hungry.
But there's just one problem. Your boss hasn't paid you. Introducing the Clive Parmigiana. A f***ing fat f*** of a chicken parma sausage. Finely crafted by unpaid workers, then advertised on every f***ing billboard around the country for months on end.
Hello, everybody, here I am.
It's the sausage you'd buy if you'd been paid the wage you'd been promised.
Aww.
Next time you have a hunger for unpaid work, choose the Clive Parmigiana sausage. Available now, but only in luxury Fijian resorts.
Radio Chaser on Triple M.
Yesterday, we were talking about the Shoei Passion Pop.
Terry? Oh, what?
Chaz came in.
Yeah, if a baby got snack, he actually drank a Shoei of Passion Pop out of a $10 Ray-Ban footwear shoe that we bought for the purpose.
Did he really? Because he doesn't drink. So his only drink in like 15 years is what? A Shoei of Passion Pop.
Yep. He's classy. Yeah.
Why?
Just to see what it tasted like. And also because Kacey Musgraves refused to do a Shoei on the weekend, which is outrageous. The fans wanted it and she said no.
If Chaz can do it, so can Kacey.
And the update is that Chaz hasn't died yet from having the Shoei.
Oh, what a shame.
That's
some sad breaking news.
It really is.
Maybe just eat a shoe next time if you want to finish him off. Sorry about the Passion Pop.
But I think it is, like, to me, like, I applauded the thing. I actually had a sip of the Passion Pop Shoei, and I quite like the concept.
You shared a Passion Pop Shoei with Chaz. That's so, that's delightful. Mm. We're good friends.
But the Passion Pop is a bit down market for my taste. Uh-huh. I'm more of a sort of latte sipping guy, you know. Oh. So this morning I thought, well, why don't I just have a Shoei latte?
Hello.
A Shoei latte. Thanks. Could I get a latte in this shoe?
Sorry. Yeah, let's do it. 100%.
Cool.
Yeah. How many shots would you like in this
cup? Two shots, please.
Two shots coming right up, buddy.
So I'll just pay for it. How much?
Complimentary for that order, sir.
Oh, what's happening?
Yeah.
Oh, so we're pouring the milk in the espresso and... Oh, it's working. I think it's being absorbed.
You get many people asking for coffee shoeies.
Not so much, but it should be a thing. I think it's a new thing. Let's do it.
A new request.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you
so much. Are you going to drink it?
Yeah. Oh, it's good. Yeah. Tastes like victory. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Anytime,
Tom. Yeah, it sort of had a very soulful...
What is wrong with you? Why did you do that?
Well, I've just worked out a scam of free coffee from the local coffee shop because they gave it to me for free.
Well, I think
obviously thought I'd won a Formula One match or something.
It was, it's very impressive.
A driving thing.
I was in Melbourne the other day and all the lattes are served in shoes down there.
Yeah.
Triple M, Radio Chaser.
Cat's pyjamas or cat's piss.
Now, Zoe, Charles and Andrew, here's a job ad from the UK. A family, a quite rich family, are offering to pay £75 an hour for a real-life Professor Snape to teach their kids science and make it come alive for them with the magic of Hogwarts, as they say.
Okay. Sorry. Do they want them to teach them real science, or Harry Potter magic science?
Well, apparently this kid loves Harry Potter but hates reality.
You don't want to speak ill of a kid, but like that kid is going to grow up to be a real jerk.
Yeah, imagine the kid who gets given like his favourite character to teach him. So, like, shouldn't they just say to the kid, no, here's a really boring tutor in second year uni. You're just going to have to learn science from him, and he's not going to wear a Professor Snape wig or anything.
But also, Professor Snape is an incredibly horrible bully in all of the books, so I don't quite know what they're asking for.
No, and the actor's passed away. So
there's that too.
It's just all, I would call this cat's urine.
Maybe that's a Doris Day tune. Come and teach him. All right, a man has set a Guinness Book of World Records. I like to bring these in because it reminds us of the time Charles failed to achieve his. A man in Idaho has managed to fit 100 lit candles into his mouth at the same time.
Has failed.
Sorry, has succeeded. He fit it in. He managed to do it. You failed. He succeeded. David Rush, take a bow.
What type of candles?
Very thin candles, I think. I suspect.
Yeah, probably those really thin
ones.
Those
big thick wax numbers, like those scented ones that are 3 inches thick.
He held them for 30 seconds in his mouth. The previous record was 41.
Did he stand in front of the TV playing Game of Thrones so people could see it?
I've got a quote here from him afterwards. He went, ah-ha, ah-ha, ah.
Every week someone else.
Yellow card, that's a warning.
Every week someone else sets a world record, Charles. Before the end of the year, you have to set one.
I'm going to set the one. There was one the other day that sounded achievable and
all right,
easy.
We'll follow up with
that. Don't even remember what it was. That's a great start, Charles.
No, the paperclip one. I'm going to do the paperclip.
All right. We'll get back to you on that one. We'll catch you tomorrow from 3 o'clock right here on Sydney's 104.9 Triple M.
Radio Chaser is brought to you by Game of Thrones spoilers. Spoiler alert, the opening titles are quite long. Game of Thrones spoilers.